Now let's look at God's Word. Generally, I have a text that I'll announce. Today, it's a topical lesson. There's going to be a lot of scripture verses. You probably won't have time to look them all up, but if you're taking notes, you might want to just write the reference down and maybe a bullet point of each truth that we'll learn in those. But on Veterans Day, we honor those men and women who have served in the armed forces of our great country. Many feel like they don't deserve that recognition and attention. Some say, I wasn't even involved in battle. I was serving in times of peace. There are others who don't want to be reminded of the things that they saw because they were so horrific. But it's good for us to recognize and honor veterans because as we do, we're honoring those who made or helped make America great. And we're honoring God who has blessed this great nation. In Matthew 24, Jesus said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. He said nation would rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He prophesied that there would be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And he said all these are the beginning of sorrows until the day he returns to rule in righteousness. And no nation, no matter how strong, no matter how resilient, is exempt from these wars and these sorrows. But one day, Jesus will return. After the rapture of the church, after the 7 years tribulation, he'll come in power and great glory. We will return with him. And when he returns at that coming, that second coming, he will defeat his enemies. And he'll usher in 1,000 years of a millennial kingdom. And one of the characteristics of that kingdom is that there will be no more wars. Isaiah prophesied that in Isaiah 2:4. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a day that will be. But until then, the Bible says there will be wars. Paul used the example of a soldier to teach many valuable lessons of the Christian life. I'd like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and use that as a theme that's found, one of the themes found in these four verses for our message today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote this letter. He was among Roman soldiers. He tells us that soldiers of Christ endure hardness. Literally, that's we suffer hardship together. I like the way that the nuance of the Greek brings that out, that we don't face these things alone, but we suffer them together. There's a camaraderie. We're encouraged to be united in a cause. He tells us that soldiers of Jesus Christ don't get sidetracked with earthly things. We deny self so that we don't get tangled with the affairs of this present life. We live with eternity in view. We endure hardness so that we can please the one who's chosen us to be his soldiers. Paul had taken Timothy under his care and taught him how to be a good soldier, a good minister of the gospel. And he tells him in verse 1 to be strong in God's grace. And in verse 2, he tells him to pass on the things that he's learned to faithful men who can teach others also. And so today, in the Christian battle for truth, we come a long way. And we come from a long line of veteran soldiers of Jesus Christ who have been teaching one generation after the next to be strong in God's grace. And we have that same charge to train faithful men to be good soldiers of Christ. Title of the message this morning, How to Be Faithful. The Greek word as a noun for faith means to trust, faith, or belief. As an adjective, it means trustworthy, reliable, sure, or true. Webster's dictionary defines faithfulness as full of faith, steadfast in affection or allegiance, that is loyalty, firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, that's perhaps conscientiousness, given with strong assurance, something binding like a faithful promise, and last, true to the facts, to a standard or to an original, as in a faithful copy. And so in taking those thoughts, a faithful Christian is a person who is full of faith, who has a steadfast devotion to Christ, and because of that faith and devotion, does his duty, keeps his promises, lives a life that's true, and a portrayal of the original, that is true, an original portrayal of Christ. So how can you be faithful? 3 points this morning. First of all, pattern your life after the faithfulness of God. There are attributes that God has that are communicable or things that we are supposed to imitate, emulate in our lives. Faithfulness is one of those. Faithfulness is part of his character. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." So because he is faithful and has called us to do something in connection with that calling, he will help us do it. What will he do? Verse 23 says, if you look at the context of that, just go up another verse, he says that he will sanctify us completely and preserve our entire being, it's our spirit, soul, and body, so that we will be blameless when he comes. Another verse about God's faithful character, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Again, I'd encourage you to look to the context of that verse. In verses 7 and 8, we see that his faithfulness or trustworthiness will assure that we come behind in no gift. We won't lack anything of the grace that God gives us in our lives to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. And that he'll confirm us to the end so that we can be blameless when the Lord comes back. In both of these verses, we have the assurance that because God is faithful, he will cleanse us, he'll sanctify us, and he'll present us faultless before the Father when he comes. The Bible describes God's faithfulness. We'll have 7 verses here. First of all, God's faithfulness is great. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, we sing the song, "Great is thy faithfulness," based on this verse. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." In these verses, Jeremiah is telling us that God's faithfulness is as reliable as the sun that comes up every morning. His compassions are new every morning. They do not fail. His faithfulness is great. It's infinite, immeasurable. We turn to Psalm 36 and verse 5 for this. Psalm 36, 5 says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds." That's a hyperbole. It's a height that can't be measured. God's mercy and faithfulness are that infinite. Third, Psalm 89, verse 1. God's faithfulness is to be made known to all generations. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." That's a task that we have. Let others know how faithful God is. Your personal testimony, how he's been faithful to you. Fourth verse, Psalm 89, 2, is just the next verse. "It is established and permanent. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." Fifth, Psalm 89, verse 8, God's faithfulness is incomparable. "No one else is as strong or is as faithful as the Lord." Amen. Psalm 89, 8, "O Lord of God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" Sixth, Psalm 89, 33, God's faithfulness will never fail. The Lord is speaking about his servant David in this context. It's also true of God's faithfulness to each of us. Psalm 89:33, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." God will never let his faithfulness fail. Seventh and last, it's eternal. Psalm 119:90. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Each generation can confirm or affirm God's faithfulness to the next. Well, the Bible shows us how God's faithful, how what that faithfulness means, and now how that faithfulness will affect each one of us. Because God is faithful, we can pray and know that he hears and answers our prayers. Psalm 143:1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Second, because God is faithful, we can tell others that he's faithful. Psalm 40:10, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." That is when God's people meet together. Have you talked about how God is faithful to your family, to others, to people maybe that you meet, to people who you work with? We can tell others that God is faithful. Third, because God is faithful, we'll trust him in the difficult and in the sorrowful times of our lives. We can trust him when we're suffering. 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God," suffering is in God's will oftentimes, "commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." God made you. He's faithful. And so when you go through those times of suffering, know that he is with you. Since God created you, you don't need to fear suffering. We can trust God when he brings discipline into our lives. Psalm 119:75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." I'm reminded of Hebrews 12:6, that says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." We can trust because God is faithful. He's not going to allow us to go our own way without him bringing correction into our lives. That's the faithfulness of God when he brings in that affliction. Fourth, because God is faithful, we can hold fast our profession without doubting. He keeps his promises. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And fifth, because God is faithful, we can come to him. We can confess our sins and know that he'll forgive us. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Another way that's helpful to learn about how to be faithful is to study the characteristics of people in the scriptures themselves. The Bible tells us about men who were faithful, people who were faithful. And so secondly, follow the faithful example of others in scripture. Follow the faithful example of others in scripture. We'll look at 11 this morning that the Bible specifically says were men of faith. Moses, in Numbers 12:7, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Now, when we think of God's house, we think about everything that he owns, where he resides, where he rules. Moses was faithful in all of that area, in all of the areas where he served God. He was faithful. Now, Aaron was older than Moses by 3 years, a brother of his, and Miriam, again, an older sister, had spoken against Moses in this context of Numbers 12. He had married a Cushite. Merrill, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, says, gives the reasons why. Possibly, Miriam, who apparently led this part of the challenge, saw Moses' new wife as a threat to her own standing as the major female figure in Israel's leadership. Now, their words show a desire to have authority in Israel. In contrast, what did the Bible say about Moses? He was the meekest of all men on the earth. We read their complaint in verse 2, Numbers 12. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And then we have two Hebrew words there, Jehovah Shammah, and it's translated, and the Lord heard it. God called the three outside the tabernacle. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and said, verse 6 and 7 and 8, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. Again, this is the Old Testament. Then he says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Verse 8, him, or with him will I speak mouth to mouth, face to face. Verse 10, Miriam was smitten with leprosy. There are two lessons from this account that stand out to me. Number one, faithfulness does not manifest itself in arrogance or pride. It is found in those who are humble and meek. Genuine faithfulness doesn't sound a trumpet telling people, I'm going to church today, I'm faithful to the Lord. Like the sun that rises every day, faithfulness quietly continues to do what God gave it to do. No bragging. Second lesson that I learned here is God will vindicate those who are faithful to him. He's going to deal with those who rise up against you. The second man of faith, besides Moses, is David. In 1 Samuel 22:14, we read, then Ahimelech answered the king, he's talking to King Saul, and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in all thine house? Saul was upset with the priest Ahimelech for giving David provisions of bread and also the sword of Goliath. And Ahimelech argued for David's character. David's faithfulness was seen in that he was obedient. He was honorable to the king, even when the king was out for his life. Your faithfulness is going to be obvious in how you live. Other people will see it. The third man of faith, Hananiah. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2. That I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Hananiah was trustworthy, so Nehemiah made him ruler over Jerusalem. The lesson here, your faithfulness will bring trust by others, and in that trust you will have increased opportunity, responsibility. Fourth man of faith, Abraham. We'll go to Galatians for him, Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. What an adjective for him, faithful Abraham. The context in that passage is that of Abraham's righteous seed. In verse 7, Genesis 3, 7, or Galatians 3, 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So faithfulness validates your heritage as a child of God. Just by being faithful, you show to others, I'm a child of the one who is faithful. Fifth faithful man, Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. Then the president and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Faithfulness will protect you from the false accusations of others. Are you so faithful to God that when others look at your life, they just can't find anything to criticize you about? Timothy is the sixth faithful man. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Paul says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Faithfulness will cause others to trust you with God's message. That was Paul's message to the church. He's faithful. You can trust him. You can trust what he has to say. Now we come to Tychicus. We're going to get into some of the lesser known people, but the Bible calls them faithful men. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that ye may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Faithful people are trusted with information. You know what they tell you is going to be accurate. Why? Because they're faithful. And then we have Epaphras, Colossians 1:7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Here, faithful people serve Christ consistently. And then we have Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave, whom Paul met in prison and led him to Christ and sent him back to his master, Onesimus. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. All my state shall Tychicus, we see him again, declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. So here we have two. Faithful Tychicus is coming with the return of the slave Onesimus, who is now a believer. And faithful Onesimus is coming home to make things right with his master Philemon. Those who are faithful mend their wrongs. And those who are faithful help others make things right with others. Number 10, Silvanus. 1 Peter 5:12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Now Peter takes up the pen from Silvanus. Silvanus has been his scribe as he's written out 1 Peter. And he gives a testimony of the one who's been writing those words. And also, Silvanus will deliver this letter to the church. Your faithfulness is going to cause others to depend on you getting things done. The last faithful example, Antipas, Revelation chapter 2. Verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Can't imagine what was going on in that church, but they all knew Antipas. And John is writing to the angel of Pergamos, or the angelos, the messenger, perhaps the pastor. And he mentions the faithfulness of this man named Antipas, who died for Christ right there among them, and encouraged them to live for the faith. The last lesson from this man, faithfulness means that you'll be faithful in life and in death. How can you be faithful? Pattern your life after the faithfulness of God. Follow the faithful example of others that we find in Scripture. And last, be obedient to the clear teachings of God's Word. God tells us to be faithful. This is not something that's unusual for Him to tell us to do. And when God tells you to do something, He will give you the strength to do it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. One author said this about what it's like to be faithful unto death. We brazenly declare, I'll pour myself out for others. I'll pay the ultimate price of martyrdom. I'm ready, Lord. Let me go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like writing a check for $1,000 and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that He sends us to the bank and He has that cash, has us cash that check and come back with rolls of quarters. And we go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. We listen to a neighbor whose child is having difficulty. And we go to a community meeting. We give a cup of cold water to a shaky man in a nursing home. Usually, giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. I've seen and heard of those 25-cent actions of faith all week long. I see it often here. Someone helping another person, their internet goes down. Someone showing up with a meal. Others making a phone call that's very encouraging. The act of a gift given to someone with no strings attached. Doing yard work around the church, raking leaves for others, hosting a baby shower. Those are the ways that God wants us to be faithful. The little things. Faithfulness is demonstrated in a variety of ways in our lives. Let's look at seven and we'll be done. First of all, in service. Matthew 25, 45 and 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful in service. We're to be faithful in our hospitality. 3 John, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Do you look for ways to show hospitality to others? I love the verse in Hebrews 13:2 that says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. It's showing hospitality to others. Be faithful in that. We're to be faithful in our speech. It's to be honest. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Here, a faithful witness is contrasted to a false one. So a faithful witness is honest. What we say is reliable. Be honest in your speech. Faithfulness is demonstrated in correcting a disobedient friend. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, all of us would rather have kisses than wounds. But again, faithfulness has to do with honesty. You can't be a good friend unless you're honest with others about how they're living and what God says about sin. You want that to be corrected. Don't miss those open doors because I just don't want to offend that person. They need to know the truth. Some of them don't know Christ as their Savior. And you need to have that honest conversation with them that Jesus died for sinners. We're all sinners, but he came and God sent his son to die in our place. Perhaps it's a believer who needs correction. The path that they're going is a wrong path. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithfulness is demonstrated also in keeping a confidence. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Doesn't mean he covers it up, covering up sin, but he avoids gossiping about it. R.G. Letourneau was an outstanding Christian businessman. He had a company that manufactured large earth-moving equipment. A lot of it he invented. He writes, we used to make a scraper known as Model G. One day, somebody asked our salesman what the G stood for. The man was pretty quick on the trigger. Immediately, he replied, I'll tell you, the G stands for gossip. Because like a tailbearer, this machine moves a lot of dirt and it moves it fast. Faithfulness is demonstrated in our daily lives in conveying messages. Proverbs 25:13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Are you faithful in your correspondence with others, the things that you put on Facebook and social media, texts, emails to others? Is it like the cold of snow in a time of harvest? Does it refresh other people? We're faithful in conveying a message. Last, faithfulness is demonstrated in all things, both great and small. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. We need to examine our lives. Am I faithful in the little things as well as in the big things? God is faithful. We have a book of examples of faithful men that we can emulate. The Bible tells us to be faithful. Will you determine with God's help to be more faithful in every area of your life? Let's bow our heads before I pray. I wonder if you'll ask the Lord today to help you to be faithful. Maybe it's faithful in your family relationships, in your service to Him, in using the gifts that He's given you to build up others in the body of Christ, in doing those daily tasks that He gives you to do. You might say this morning, I'm not faithful because I'm not full of faith. I've never been saved. I wonder if you would just let us pray for you this morning about that. You say, if I were to die today, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I don't have faith in Christ, but I want to. I want to know how I can be born again, be saved, and have my sins forgiven. Would anyone with an uplifted hand right now say, would you pray for me? I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't have faith. Believer, you might want to just ask the Lord to help you be more faithful to Him. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God does. Would you take care of what He's telling you to do through His Word and by His Spirit? Would you do that today? Step out in faith. Be faithful to Him. Father in heaven, I pray that you would work in our hearts as we give this closing invitation. If anybody needs to make a decision, I pray that you'll motivate them to come and make things right with you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.